Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service today. And this morning, I'm beginning a brief three-week series called Coachable. And I'll just begin by asking you. So are you coachable? Are you teachable? Legendary college basketball coach John Wooden, who died just this past year, but such an amazing man. A Christian man. This is the basketball coach who kept a cross in his pocket, and during games in heated moments, he would put his hand in his pocket and just feel that cross to remind himself of what's really important and who he represents. But John Wooden said this one time. He said, "It's what you learn after you already know it all that counts." In other words, there's such a thing as expert danger, which is the title of this morning's message, expert danger. You know, I'm an expert. I've arrived. I know all there really is to know. I don't really have anything else to learn. And if that's you, if that's your attitude, you're in danger of being an expert. Because it's what you learn after you already know it all. It really counts and is helpful. Everybody needs a coachable spirit in order to progress and develop. You need it. I need it. We all need it today and throughout life. And anyone who cannot take good and godly advice, sometimes even when it's delivered, it's not always delivered in the best way. But anybody who can't receive good and godly advice is a poor person. And the Bible gives this counsel from the book of Proverbs about gaining wisdom for everyday living. From Proverbs chapter 9, it says this: "Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse." In other words, there are some people who are not coachable and teachable, and if you try, they're going to find a way to just come back at you. "Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. But if you rebuke the wise person who receives counsel that says, you know, not this way, but consider this way, they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will just add to their learning." From Proverbs chapter 12, "The way of fools may seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Did you notice here that the revealing trait of a truly wise person is coachability, teachability? Teach a wise man or a wise woman something, and they will say, "Thank you. I'm a wiser person because of that good counsel and advice." And so I would ask you this morning, are you coachable? Or are you already an expert? Well, let me put some statements up here on the screen. First of all, being coachable is what Jesus calls us to be. In Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, he says this. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Now, notice that word disciple. Go and, what's a disciple? We'll come back to that in just a moment. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." What's a disciple? Answer, the word disciple literally means learner. Go and make people who are continually learning, growing, receiving from me. How can you teach a person, but how can you coach a person? How can you disciple a person if they don't have a coachable spirit? And another thing, being coachable has more to do with attitude than intelligence. When Jesus selected his apostles, he bypassed many talented and intelligent people of his day because he was looking for people who had a coachable spirit. They weren't the smartest people in the world. In fact, you read the book of Acts, and Peter and John were in a place in Jerusalem, and folks said, you know, these are not learned men. These are not the smartest guys. These are not the best educated guys. But these were people who were learners. They were coachable. And another thing, being coachable is more important than being gifted. You look around this room, everybody in this room is gifted. Giftedness is a dime a dozen. But coachability is a special and precious thing. Everybody is gifted, but did you know that your gifts will not do what God wants them to do unless that gift is combined with a coachable and a teachable spirit? And here's something else. Being coachable is a decision no one can make for you. You make that choice. Now, parents, a parent who models coachability, you put your children at a great advantage. But if a parent is uncoachable, you're putting your own children at a disadvantage. And last of all, being coachable is not an all or nothing proposition. In other words, coachableness is usually segregated. We're not typically completely coachable or completely uncoachable. But I would ask you this, in the most important areas of your life, your marriage, as a parent, as a Christian, as an employee, are you coachable? Do you still have the spirit of, I'm willing to learn, I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to evaluate advice, I want to keep growing, I want to keep improving here? Well, what are some signs of an uncoachable spirit? Here's the first one. Chronic failure. If there's an area in your life, if there's an area in your marriage, in your work, in your spiritual life, where you're not seeing improvement, and it's an area of chronic failure, perhaps you're chronically failing there because you simply refuse to seek help, get teaching, get counsel. You're still viewing seeking advice, seeking help, seeking coaching as a sign of weakness as opposed to a sign of wisdom. Here's another sign of an uncoachable spirit, an argumentative and defensive nature. I've told you before about Dr. John Gottman. Dr. John Gottman was at one time a professor at the University of Washington. He's now in full-time marriage work. But Gottman and his researchers years ago did a study, and to this day, Gottman's work is incredible. He says that he can predict with 94% accuracy whether or not a couple will divorce. Let that sink in for a moment. 94% accuracy. And he says there are four key indicators. And here they are. Let me put them up on the screen. Let's just go ahead and put them all up. Criticism, defensiveness, contempt, stonewalling. And just look at those for a moment. Criticism, sarcasm and really cutting the other person. Defensiveness, not letting your spouse influence you, not letting your spouse coach you. Contempt, that's an anger that has ached for a long, long time and now it's become destructive. And now when this person speaks to their spouse, they do so from a tone of superiority. Stonewalling. This is where one spouse says, look, don't talk to me about that anymore. We've talked about it. I'm not going there. I'm not listening. I'm not open. Do not bring that up. Now, look at those. Two of those four have to do with coachability. Defensiveness and stonewalling. What's the common element of success in marriage? Now, we know as believers, it's having Jesus at the foundation of your home. From a secular study, though, and this is just a point of wisdom, it's shared control of the relationship and a willingness to receive influence from your mate. He's willing to learn from her. She's willing to learn from him. I mean, it's hard to live with someone who will not listen to you. And how can a husband learn to meet the needs of his wife if he's not open to what she has to say? How can that wife learn to meet the needs of her husband if she said, look, don't bring that, if she's not willing to listen to him? When you have stubbornness in a relationship, you got trouble. Every relationship is dependent upon a coachable spirit as opposed to defensiveness, stonewalling. What are some signs of an uncoachable spirit? Chronic failure. You know, I keep failing in the same important areas, but don't talk to me about it. Or a defensive, an argumentative spirit. Or how about this one? Blame transfer and the accountability shuffle. I'm not responsible. I'm not accountable. You are. But there's some good news. And the good news is this. You can be coachable. Yes, it takes a humble spirit, but you can be coachable, and your life can even improve in significant ways if we have a humility in four areas. And here they are. First of all, a humility towards God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the teacher. And the Holy Spirit teaches you, not so much in a classroom, but in life circumstances. You know, we say that circumstances are teachers. Really, it's what you learn in those circumstances. And the Holy Spirit, in the middle of circumstances, will be working on you and trying to teach you. The Bible says in John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And so when you're in those circumstances, is there a humility towards the Holy Spirit where you're saying, okay, God, teach me, grow me through this. What do you want me to learn? What's the Jesus way through this? And here's another area. Not only humility towards God's Spirit, but humility towards God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. For the Word of God is alive and active. In other words, this is not like any other book. Yes, it is a book, but the Holy Spirit is going to take this book and do some work in my heart. He's going to do some carving and some whittling here. The Word of God, Scripture, is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In other words, Scripture itself wants to coach you. Are you coachable? And Scripture needs to become the measure by which we evaluate all the coaching and all the advice that comes our way. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Notice, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That Scripture becomes the measure by which, and the filter by which, all advice and all coaching and all teaching is evaluated. My friends, God speaks through Scripture, and life is never the same for the person who grows in Bible knowledge. And there are only two perspectives we can have about the Bible. Either I will stand in authority over the Bible, or I allow the Bible to stand in authority over me. And that requires a posture of humility. Because there are things here I will not like, and I will need to change my mind. There are behaviors here that are forbidden, and I will need to repent. There are behaviors here that are commanded, and I will need to change. Run your business ethics through the filter of Scripture. Run your medical ethics through the filter of Scripture. Run every piece of advice through the filter of Scripture. The good news is you can become coachable if we have a humility towards God's Spirit, where in the middle of any circumstance, I'm saying, okay, God, teach me, grow me through this. You can shape me. And if we have a humble spirit towards Scripture, here I am. Lord, speak to me. Sometimes we sing the song, speak to me. And if you have a humble attitude towards God's people, I encourage every parent in this room to teach your children that getting help and seeking advice is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom. Seeking coaching is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom. You're going to need coaching in your marriage. You're going to need coaching for your work life. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Some of the most important teachers you'll have in your life are not the teachers in a classroom, although they are very, very important. As important as the classroom teachers are, some of the most important teachers in your life will be the people that God brings to you in everyday circumstances. And they have something you need to know, you need to learn. But if you have a humble attitude towards God's people, seeking advice, seeking counsel is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom. And last of all, humility towards God's authorities. If you have authority issues, you tend to want to bat everything back. But listen to what the Bible has to say about authority, because everybody here is under some sort of authority. Romans chapter 13, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. And the authorities that exist have been established by God. And consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. In other words, all authority is God instituted, God ordained, and we need it. Let me give you a little saying. I've said this to you before, but it bears repeating. When someone tells you what to do, don't ask what, but who. When someone tells you what to do, don't ask what, but who. Because everybody in this room, we've all been in a situation where, you know, somebody has told us what to do. It's in a work environment, it's in a church environment, it's in a, you know, a government environment. And we go, you know, that's just nuts, that's crazy. Unless somebody tells you something to do that's immoral or illegal. When someone tells you what to do, don't ask what, but who. Because if the source is an authority, even if it's a temporary authority that God has instituted, then I need to be careful how I respond. Because God may be up to something that I don't know. And he always works through authority, and he never blesses a rebellious attitude. But when you learn to submit to authority, he will use that authority to direct your life and protect your life. God holds authorities for how they lead. He holds me accountable. God holds authorities accountable for how they lead. He holds me accountable for how I follow. And when someone tells me what to do, don't ask what, but who. Because authority is not about domination, it's about protection. And living under authority, we discover God's best for our lives. Are you coachable? Signs of an uncoachable spirit are, you know, chronic failure. An argumentative and defensive attitude. The accountability shuffle. It's not my fault, it's her fault, it's his fault. You can be coachable with a tone of humility towards God's spirit. Lord, even in this circumstance, you can grow me and teach me. With a tone of humility towards God's word, I stand under Scripture, not over it. With a tone of humility towards God's people, seeking advice and counsel is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom. And with a tone of humility even towards God's authorities. And when someone tells you what to do, don't ask what, but who. Hey, you been watching the NFL playoffs? Couple of good games yesterday. I saw a little bit of the last game last night and, a little bit of the game yesterday afternoon. The marquee game this weekend is the last game that's on tap for today. It's the Jets at the Patriots. And the New York Jets quarterback is Mark Sanchez. Very, very young guy, young quarterback. He was the quarterback at the University of Southern California. He left school early, he decided to forego his senior year, went into the NFL draft, was a first-round draft choice. An interesting young man. In fact, I think this is only his second year, and he had a great year last year, and he's known as a real student of the game, even as a young quarterback. As a kid, he attended a camp in California called Camp Quarterback that's run by former NFL quarterback Brett Johnson. And he had this to say about Mark Sanchez. He said, even when he was an eighth grader, he was a great athlete. He was a big kid who really listened and who wanted to be coached. Even when kids are that young, you can tell immediately if they have athletic ability, but you can also tell, even more importantly, if they are coachable. To be coachable, a kid has to be eager to learn and have a built-in respect for authority. My friends, whatever you succeed in life, wisdom will precede you. You need wisdom for everything. And the Bible says that wisdom is always accompanied by a coachable spirit. And no one can decide that for you. Would your spouse say you've got a coachable spirit? Would your parents say you have a coachable spirit? But God has put people in your life from whom you can learn something about Him. You can learn about good choices. You can learn about your blind spots. And whether or not you are today still a disciple has to do with whether or not you're open to new information, whether or not you're open to new ways of looking at old information, and whether or not you're open to even seeing some uncomfortable information. But I hope everybody in this room, we've got an invisible sign around our neck that just says, teach me, grow me. I'm still a disciple. Lord, I'm still open to your people. I'm still open to your authorities. I'm still open to Scripture. I'm still open to your Spirit. And if you'll always be taking notes in life, God will continue to grow you. God will continue to pour wisdom into your life. And whatever you succeed in, wisdom precedes you, and a coachable spirit is absolutely vital. Therefore, go to all the nations and make disciples, people who are ongoing learners from me. And Jesus said, come to me, everybody who's weary and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Is there something that Jesus is trying to teach you today that you've been stiff-arming? Only you can answer that question. My friends, let me ask you to do something for me, if you would. Take a look at your order of worship, and in that order of worship, you have a communication card. On that communication card, please, would you fill it out? And you have a place there where you can write down a prayer request that you'd like to submit. We'd love to receive your prayer requests. And if you would like to speak with one of our church leaders about membership here, or if you'd like to speak with one of our church leaders about baptism, we would love to visit with you. You can indicate so on that card. So please fill out that card completely. And when you've finished, just pass it to the ends of the aisles, and our ushers will collect those cards here in just a moment. Take your time filling out that card, and while you're doing so, I'd like to lead us in prayer. So please bow with me as we pray, and then we'll sing our concluding song. Lord God, if there's an area where we've been uncoachable and resistant, would you convict us today in your spirit and help us to know how to move forward. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Spirit of wisdom. You are the Spirit of wisdom and truth, and you're here with us now. Lord, we humble ourselves. We ask you to guide us, coach us, teach us, lead us to the information that may set us free and deliver us from any power that attempts to hold us in bondage. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.